This is Jan Cox Talk number 3294, recorded on May 2nd, 2005.
To remind you where we are, or where I am, I'm standing right here. I was still using the model, or the basis, of pointing out that man, like every other ambulatory creature, is born with a guidance system, commonly referred to as instinct, that would carry us through life with no additional input. A worm, a pig, a chimp, man is born knowing. I say knowing in the non-intellectual sense, but there is a silent guidance system in him to lead him to the right environments, the right foods, the right mate. But man alone also has something else that is intrinsic, not learned. It's not acquired in any way. It's natural. And I made you up several examples over the last few days that you can see in children, or maybe you can feel the veracity of what I'm saying in yourself, that there is a built-in hunger / acceptance for a map, for a system, for instructions on how to live from sources outside yourself, not how to live. Well, some of them are physical, like the Jewish kosher laws, that they affect the way you live. The Catholic Church's attitude about sex. But the maps, people, if you can see it, what we primarily are looking for is simply the verbalization of instructions. And of course, hand gestures help a lot. Which is what you miss when you get your instructions out of a book. By the way, just between us, don't let it get out because I don't have it patented yet. But I'm working on a Bible that makes gestures. If I can get it perfected, we all got it made. There'll be enough money. I'll adopt all of you. Just think the money will pour in from all over the world. But at any rate, plus I assume you know, it'll be good at tying gestures. Guess I pushed it too far. But built in, and it's in our intellect, it's in the conscious part of our brain, of course, this hunger for outsourced maps and instructions. Where we left off last time is I left you with what was to have been the topic last time I didn't get around to, in reminding you of my expedient diagram, my picture, that our neurons, the conscious part of our brain, is a younger member of the family, the older member of the family being what I call hormones. But I, of course, use the word symbolically. That all of our nourishment first feeds our hormones and then our neurons. So the conscious part of the brain is the last to know, the last to get fed, the last to speak in the figurative sense. So what I was pointing out, what I said was to have been the topic is nothing in you. Hormonally, remember, I'm speaking symbolically when I say hormones, but physically, your stomach, your digestive system, and no matter feels a need for instruction on how to eat and digest food and make use of it to turn it into glucose and all the other nutrients. And your sex organs do not need to be told how to be aroused, how to go about mating. And your respiratory system doesn't need to be told how to breathe. It's only the conscious part of the brain which makes up physically a relatively small part of the brain. The rest of the brain, the older part of the brain, the brain stem, the older part of the brain, the non-conscious part, seeks no further instructions. The limbic system, the pituitary gland, there's nothing in the brain that needs or seeks any further instructions. It's only the neocortex. It's only the part of the brain that's conscious that feels that. So, since it is dependent on hormones, that the body must be fed and start digesting food and distributing it to you physically before it gets to the brain. Even if it's just a matter of difference of seconds or minutes, still hormones, in the widest sense, are responsible for neurons. So, the topic that I announced was based on that. If hormones are responsible for neurons, that the rest of your body, the rest of your physical organism is responsible, is older than, gets fed first, before your thinking, before your neurons. And if it's only your neurons that seek to feel like I've got to have instructions, I don't know how to live my life, is what your consciousness, what your so-called mind, in essence, is saying when it picks up a book, when it opens the Quran, or the Upanishads, or Buddhist sermons. What it's saying is, I, the mind, the thinking apparatus, I do not know how to live. Here we go, and we'll finally get to it. So, for the fifth time. So, the topic was to have been, it's almost as though hormones are totally distrustful of neurons. That it is forcing them to look for some sort of guidance. All right, you had the weekend to think about it yourself if you wanted to. So I'm not going to speak a lot about the neuron, the hormone part. Let's take it a step further. Hormones and neurons, of course, are all dependent upon what I call life, with a capital L. Remembering that I quite clearly, and you should be able to also, I see life as an actual thing. That it is an organism, an entity, and that it has a life of its own. So, that's six, isn't it? So, seven. It is life that I want to point out. It's as though life does not trust man's neurons. That is, it's as though life does not trust man's mind just to run by itself in the way that your heart beats. It just beats. The way that your kidneys just kidney.
and your liver just livers, and your lungs just breathe. It's just, and obviously life leaves it at that. You're born with your lungs breathing, your heart beating, and life does not make your heart or your lungs feel as though, maybe I'm not doing this right. I need somebody's direction. I need to look outside myself, outside the body, for directions to be sure I'm doing this right. Life does not do that in any place except our thinking, our mind, the conscious part of our brain. And there, life has instilled in us, as surely as the instincts to eat, to screw, to breathe, just as surely life is instilled in us genetically. But it manifests itself only in the conscious part of our brain. The feeling that we need to have from outside sources, instructions. All right. So life, as always, is the source of this activity, of this feeling in us. All you've got to do is think about that for about 1 second. And you should think, what kind of sense does that make? And if I may remind you, lest you forget, taking my model of things, that life is alive, and that everything, every form of life you see on this planet, which is the only life we know of in the universe, we are a part of life. Let me repeat, since I haven't done it in about a year, I don't know how anybody can ever really begin to understand what's going on until you have some view on your own of what I describe as life being alive. And us, trees, fish, every form of life is in essence like a cell in the body of life. If you can't see that, either using my picture or one of your own, it doesn't matter. But if you can't see that for yourself, I don't know how you're ever going to really wake up fully to what's going on. That just seems to me to be an absolute minimum. That all of life that you see is a part of a thing called life. A living entity. So, having reminded you of that, let's return to the main subject. Life is more intelligent than we are. Nothing that an artist creates can ever be as intelligent as the artist, as the creator. I shouldn't have to verbally try to in any way prove that statement. It's just life is smarter than we are. Life is more intelligent. Life is more conscious. Life can think better. Although we have no way of knowing what thinking is to life. I mean, we have no way to know everything else I understand. I can only assume, feel fairly certain that what we call thinking, whatever it is in life, would be far different than it is in us. But it obviously is conscious, or we wouldn't be conscious. It obviously can think, or we couldn't think. if we are a product of life, we're a piece of life. We think we are conscious by our own description. And it is a lesser, in every sense of the word, it is a lesser version of life's form of consciousness and thinking. Then how could life be mistrustful of our thinking? Now, would you realize I substituted life for hormones from last time? And I said it's almost as though hormones are frightened of neurons, that hormones do not have enough trust in neurons to feed them and just let them go. Like, well, go do your thing. Think. What I have substituted from last time, hope I didn't confuse you, life for hormones, the next step up. So it's life that is responsible for implanting in us, in the conscious part of our brain, the feeling that we need instructions specifically to our thinking, to our consciousness, not to any other part of our body, not to vital functions. They operate without any further instruction. But that our thinking, which in one sense is the most vital function in man. You can live without thinking. You can live being unconscious. But you're no longer a man. To be a man, to be a Homo sapien, you have got to be conscious. And your brain has got to be able to think. If you were born with such brain damage genetically, for instance, if you were born without a cerebral cortex, without a neocortex, then I say you would not technically be human. You might live decades. Somebody'd have to look after you, more or less. But you would not be human. I assume you know what I'm saying. You would look like a human. You would breathe. You could digest food. But you would not be a human, as we call being human. So in one sense, our ability to think is our most vital resource, our most essential function. So what kind of sense is it? It sounds almost insane to say or to look at it like I'm urging you to look at it. That we naturally feel a need to look for a source outside of ourselves, a book, a teaching, some other person, a spiritual master, a political leader, a tyrant, a philosopher, but do we naturally feel the need to look outside of us for directions, systematic rules on how to live, not physically, but how to live socially, intellectually, psychologically, politically, philosophically, and of course, spiritually. Sense does it make that life gave us consciousness, gave us the ability to think, us alone, out of the however many biological classifications there are of life, the thousands of forms of life on this planet, life put in us alone, consciousness, and thus the ability to think. Why did it do that? Because everything I've described thus far, look at for yourself. Does any of it not fit the observable facts of life? The answer is no. So based on that, for me to bring it to this question, or this, the scene I just verbally painted, that it's as though life, after giving us consciousness, and thus the ability to think, then treated us as though, I can't leave it to you to think. You're going to have to get instructions. You're going to have to be directed, influenced, maybe completely controlled by some outside system, like a religious fanatic that turns over his whole life to his religion or his cult, will even give up his life like a suicide bomber. Life gives you the ability to think. And then it's as though he says, or it says, hold on, you need help. You've got to look elsewhere. You've got to look outside of yourself for instructions on how to use consciousness. Do you see what I'm saying? That is insane. Or irrational from any view that we call rational, which is a product of being able to think. But our ability to think is what came up with the idea of rational. That if you want X result, then you must do maybe Y, C, and M things. But our thinking then can say, if you want X result, you damn sure can't do S. If you do S, you'll never get X. That is, if you drink salt water, you'll never slake your thirst. If you eat dirt, you'll never satisfy your hunger. It's irrational. Alright, we made up the term irrational, the concept, but we all know what it means, and it is useful. It is the basis of us being able, to some degree, to manipulate the universe, the physical reality of this planet, and ourselves. So to say, to take my picture that life gave us the ability to think, then, about the time you get old enough to really start using the function, it varies, 3, 4, 5 years old. As I said, in the strict sense, most societies, life is instilled in us, made us to where we grow in such a way, mature at such a rate, that along about the age of 12, it's a definite, it's an accepted conclusion throughout most of the world that you, my son, you, my daughter, your thinking is now your own. You are not physically an adult, but your consciousness is now mature enough that you can take instructions. For example, you're part of a Jewish family. You will now be bar mitzvah. You will be instructed in the Jewish way of life. And you will be expected to live by it. The kid says, great. Fine. Or I could be Catholic or Hindu or anything. But the truth is, it starts age 4 or 5. As I said, exemplified by parents making up tales to affect children's behavior, like the monster under the bed that will come out at night if you don't stay quiet when we put you to bed and go to sleep in a timely fashion. what's irrational if you're following all of this. Because what I've described fits the facts. And I haven't said anything that is not deserved. I haven't described what goes on in any way that is not pertinent to the observable facts of life, the way men live. Life gave us the ability to think. And then it's as though it went, hold on. You've got to have help. You, individually. Yeah, I know you can think. You know, I gave you the ability. I made your brain, your nervous system, and brain develop and grow a neocortex in the frontal lobes. And that's where your consciousness lies. That's where your ability to abstract, to think, to plot things rationally, but to think in general. I put it there. I know you. And I say, don't you start thinking on your own. You've got to have directions from outside of you. Is that not irrational? Of course, I want to say insane because it sounds worse. Okay. Tighten your belt. Pull up your socks. Because it gets insaner than that. It makes every individual human feel. I need, makes their consciousness. And I say them, remember, we're talking about the conscious part of your brain. No other part of you. But our consciousness, our thinking apparatus, feels as though we need instructions from sources outside of ourselves, which is insane enough, you'd think. But no. Life makes every individual on this planet feel that way. And then makes every individual turn and look at other individuals for this desired instructions. Now insane doesn't even start to cover that. That nobody feels as though they can think without help. And suddenly another human comes up to them seeking instructions. And they give it to them. How come nobody from everyday people like carpenters and bricklayers all the way to so-called spiritual teachers like Buddha or Jesus or, but how come nobody is ever staying there minding their own business and somebody comes up and asks for instructions on how to live and nobody ever says, what are you asking me? I feel just like you. Never happens. Somebody asks you for, can you help tell me how to live? Most certainly. What would you like to know? And they get through telling you. And as soon as you're out of sight, the next person they bump into, they say, could you help tell me how to? They do. But is anybody aware of it besides me? And now you? If they are, they damn sure give it hidden oil. Now that I got the index finger of my right hand up again, now I gotta think of something fitting to go along with it. What if that were true? That our hand gestures determine what we think. Did you do that? And you realize, wait a minute, I gotta make an important point. Then you try to think of something. You gonna tell me that couldn't be true? If you think that couldn't be true, that just shows how far from being awake you are. If you can think of it, it can be true. Alright. Here's what I'll close with. The tape's out for tonight. You follow what I've said. Life gives us the ability to think. And then it's just... though it's instilled in us the feeling, no, I can't go off thinking. I can't go off being consciously responsible for my life. I need help. And then where do you look for this help? Other humans, who every man jack of them, feel they have the same feeling. They were born with it, the same as you. So I point out, it's two levels of insanity, irrationality, and two imponderables. How can this be? What does this mean? Alright, let me leave this with you. Until next time. If you look, like I said, upon all the life forms of being, like cells in the body of life, which I know sounds metaphorical, but it's not without a firm basis. But at any rate, if you look at it that way, then here's what it amounts to. It's as though life is looking at each individual human, as though each human is an individual cell in the body of life. And in a man's case, I would say in whatever's life's cortex, whatever would be, you understand what I'm saying, equal to life's neocortex and life's brain, then that's where humans would be. We're the only ones that can think. So we would be unquestionably in the thinking, the conscious part of life's brain, the finger. It's as though life treats every individual human, you, me, every individual human, as though you are an individual cell, an individual neuron in its thinking brain, the thinking part of its brain. And then you can draw this tentative conclusion for this picture. Before I say that, look at the parallel. Your brain is made up. Your neocortex. I don't know the figure. But I know somebody's counted. I think the brain itself is estimated to be like 60 billion cells. So let's just guess that the neocortex is more tightly packed. Let's just guess it's 2 or 20 billion cells. I don't know, but let's assume you've got 20 billion neurons in your neocortex. The 20 billion neurons, 20 billion cells. You remember cells? If not, somebody should go back and reread your high school biology book. Each cell, like a complete little factory, almost like a life of its own, taking in nourishment, digesting it, turning it into energy, discharging it. But it's as though each of those 20 billion cells, it would be like you treating each of your 20 billion neurons that make up your thinking apparatus. That you look at each one, figuratively speaking, that you don't want any one of your 20 billion neurons to be able to take charge. That if all of your neurons could do their own thing, as they used to say in the 60s. If each one of them could truly think for itself without any instructions from adjoining cells, which would be in our case like from other people, that each cell could individually think, my God, the only picture that comes to mind is chaos. They have to operate as a cohesive unit. Did you feel like, I'm having this particular thought? But this consciousness that is in my head is me, one entity. I am having these feelings that I'm thinking about, talking about perhaps. I am having these thoughts. All right, back to life. You could picture it, not just that life is a step beyond my conjecture, my proposal of saying it's almost as though life, after it gave us the ability to think, then didn't trust us. Like, wait a minute, I can't just let you think. You need some control. You need something outside of yourselves to help direct you and then make you turn to other fucking humans, which is nuts, which makes no sense, which is inoperable. It's irrational to the apparent aim. Unless you go a step further, as I propose, that life looks at each human the way I said a human could look at each cell in his neocortex. What if life looks at each human as though I can't just let you, turn you loose to fully implement what thinking can do? I can't let you crank up the thinking in your brain to the extent it could. See, this much I know is true. As I point out to you, not bragging about me, but I know that 6 billion people on this planet, that is everyone else but me and you, people like us, but I know for a fact in me, my brain can think in ways theirs can't. And I know that mine, the way my brain can think, is more effective. We get lost for words here. I can say it's superior. And obviously, that doesn't mean that I know more than other people. It's not knowledge. The world's full of people. Well, all of you, everybody I meet, knows more about something than I do. It's not that kind of knowledge. Knowledge of chemistry or knowledge of Elizabethan poetry. It's that I can look at what goes on in my brain, and whereas the rest of the world, their view of anything is always confined to two opposing views. But at any rate, it's easy to see the extent when men talk about their understanding of religion, of God, of Allah, when they discuss that or of politics or what makes man behave the way they do. I know the extent of what they can see. And they are in conflict. And they all will individually say, I am still perplexed. I am an expert. I think a lot about God, but I don't fully understand God. Well, I do. And my brain does. Because I understand what they're arguing about. I understand where it comes from. I understand what it is. And they don't. And they tell me and each other, I've thought about this. As I said, they may be a recognized expert. They may have a degree in theology, which requires a postgraduate, a doctorate in theology. And I certainly don't have that. But the Pope himself, a man with a PhD in theology, will readily admit, I don't know really what God. 7 years studying, and I still think about it. Okay. But he obviously can't think about it the way my brain can, because he's still uncertain, confused, still looking. And I know that the human brain, because I'm as normal, I'm as ordinary in every other respect as everybody else, but my brain, I didn't have God come speak to me. I didn't have some supernatural revelation. And I certainly didn't find a secret teaching from another human that told me this. My brain, in a sense, figured it out, which is not the way to put it, of course. So I know the brain can do it. But it's as though, and it's understandable from one view, that life looks at every human, every normal human, who is conscious and whose brain can process thinking, can think, as men normally call it, and which you know I don't call that thinking. But it's as though life looks at every individual man who is normal enough to be conscious and to think, and he treats each man as though he's a cell in brain's cortex, in life's cortex, and that life treats each man as though, all right, you can think, but I can't have you running around just thinking on your own. And so it makes each cell, each man, as it were, turn to each other and say, what should I think? How should I think? What should I be doing with my ability to think? And everybody's doing it to all the cells around you. In essence, it's what it amounts to. Therefore, it keeps anything chaotic from occurring. But in some way, life overlooks a few cells. Some way, the message doesn't get to people like us. And that's what so-called waking up or being enlightened is in essence, you can think for yourself. That sounds trite, I know. I've refrained for decades of saying it that way, but what amounts to, it's as though something in your brain, it's as though there is, of course this can't be literally true, but it's almost as though there is an original stream running through you, like the fountainhead of a river that originates in you, whereas everybody else, intellectually, mentally, consciously, they're all feeding off of the same source, that is life's general broadcast at any given moment of 6 billion pieces of whatever thought life's having in each human's brain. The conscious part gets 1/6 billion. That is the world's population being 6 billion people. That each human is like a cell in life's brain. And the one thought it's having right now, whatever the hell that is, than ordinary people's brains. Imagine that one thought being chopped up into 6 billion pieces and then turned into a broadcast wave, like an electromagnetic wave of some kind. And it goes from life's brain, 1/6 billionth of it, into a human, into this individual brain, into your brain, into my brain. We all get a little slightly different piece. That's what I mean by the same source. That's how everybody else, that's what they call thinking. That's what life makes ordinary men call their thinking. life wants them to think that they're thinking. It's as though my brain and people like us, once you get it fully operative, it's as though, even though this obviously can't be true, as I said, not literally, but it's almost as though you can tap in. Maybe I shouldn't say original fountainhead or original source, but a different, that it's not the same one that everyone else is feeding from. It contains it because your brain, I can think as crudely. I got a part of my brain, the old natural. It's a natural born part of my brain. Can think just as crudely, as constrictedly, as anybody else's. When I hear a fanatic, when I hear some witless, dense person expressing, "Oh, here's what God wants," I hear them. My brain recognizes, yeah, I know that feeling. I know what is feeding and motivating you at this second. Yeah, I know it. But the brain of a few people, the brains of a few people, gets fed, can tap in to some additional source. It's obviously still coming from life. There's another way of looking. There are two or three other ways of looking at it. I don't know whether I'm getting you confused with too many picturizations at one time. But that is another full-blown explanation of what wanting to wake up is, of what being enlightened is, of achieving the so-called great liberation. Is your brain finally activates a part that can do things. The conscious part's all I'm talking about. That there's a part of it that can be activated that is not working or is not present in everybody else's brain. I mean, it's obvious. It's not that I'm smarter or that you're smarter, but it's another part. And waking up as you realize it is that you can see what everyone else can't see, which is themselves, which is to say their consciousness, which is why I repeat for the billionth time, there is only one proper study, and that's your own consciousness. And indirectly, you can look at others, like the examples I use, and it might give you hints, suggestions. But you're still studying human consciousness. That's the only thing to study. That's the only form of direction that is of use to people like us.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com to search through 3,000 talks or to leave us a message.